The title of this message is The Resurrection.
Death is man's greatest and most powerful enemy. For every man, death is a fierce reality. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? And so we ask ourselves today, is this true? Is Jesus Christ greater than death? Now when we think of the resurrection, we realize this is an essential part of the Christian message. The early apostles, as they went out preaching, believed wholeheartedly in the resurrection. Why do we believe that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead? Let me read in Mark chapter 16, and beginning with verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. And they were saying among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back. Now it was exceeding great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he saith unto them, Be not amazed, ye seek Jesus the Nazarene, who hath been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, He goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The account that's given us here tells of these women coming very early that Sunday morning long ago, after the crucifixion, and they came with spices. They wanted to further embalm the body of the Lord Jesus. You remember Joseph and Nicodemus had done this hurriedly. And now they came and with a real concern, with a heart of love, said, We're going to embalm him. We want to add to this that has been done. We want to be sure his body has shown all the love and kindness that it should be. And so they come early that morning. And they're talking among themselves, they're perplexed, and they're saying, well now, this tomb has a great stone that closes the entrance. How can we get it rolled back? How will we be able to do this? We're just women and we're not strong enough. And yet as they come close, they see that the stone is rolled back. The tomb is, entrance is open. They can get in without any problem. And as they come in, they see a young man, an angelic messenger seated there, and he says, Be not amazed, ye seek Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified, he is risen, he is not here. Look, he says, look at the place where they laid him, and I'll go tell his disciples. This is the account that's given. Where did the body go? These women went back and they told the disciples, Look, the body is missing. It's gone. The tomb is empty. Where did the body go? And this is one of the proofs now, isn't it, of the resurrection, that the body was missing. The body of the Lord Jesus. This body that had been laying in that tomb very, very dead. A body that had been crucified. And to prove that he had really died, the soldier came and drove his spear deep into that side, and the Bible says blood and water came out. There was no motion, there was no quiver. He was truly dead. And their body had been laid to rest in this tomb, but now it was gone. Well, perhaps someone would say, maybe the enemies of the Lord Jesus stole it. But they would not want to do this. It was to their advantage to be able to produce the body, not to conceal it. And they made no attempt to do this. The apostles went everywhere preaching, Christ is risen, and his enemies could have killed their message immediately by just producing the body, by producing this one who was crucified. And if they had the body, surely they would have done this. No, it was not stolen by his enemies. Some might say, well, it was brought in by his disciples. Maybe this is a hoax, and they decided to steal the body and then to fabricate this story so that they could carry on this message. Maybe they did it. But we would have to say, no, it just doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. As you read the accounts, these disciples had to be convinced, and they weren't easily convinced. And then as they went telling everyone this message, there's the ring of truth about it. And as you see how they reacted, never a one denied the reality of the resurrection. Never a one confessed that this was a hoax. Instead of this, they died freely, willingly, enthusiastically, believing that the one who hung on that cross was truly living and that they would see him again. And so we cannot say that his body was stolen. Certainly not by his disciples. Certainly not by his enemies. The tomb was empty. Where did the body go? And unless you accept the resurrection, this is a very real problem. Now, there's another proof. And John tells us this in the Gospel of John. He tells us of how the disciples came to this tomb. And I'll begin reading in John chapter 20. And we read the account here, beginning with verse 1. Now on the first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark unto the tomb, and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. She runs therefore and comes to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and says unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and they went toward the tomb, and they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the tomb. And stooping and looking in, he seeth their linen cloths lying, yet entered he not in. Simon Peter therefore also cometh, following him, and entered into the tomb, and he beholdeth the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then entered in therefore the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. Now as they looked, and saw the place where the body had been lying, they were convinced by what they saw that he had not been stolen, that there had been nothing dishonest, that this was a genuine resurrection. What convinced them? It was the position of those grave cloths. You remember his body was just wound with these grave cloths and embalmed with spices, weighted with spices. And as they looked at the grave cloths, they saw them lying there. If someone had stolen the body, surely they wouldn't have bothered to unwrap it. It would have been in haste. They wouldn't have wanted to get away as quickly as possible because there were soldiers guarding that tomb. And besides this, if someone were going to steal a corpse, surely he would not want to unwrap it. He wouldn't want to take it away naked. He'd leave the wrappings on. The wrappings were there. And then, too, the way they were lying there, it would indicate that here the body had just disappeared right out of them. They weren't just in a tangled mess, but here they were lying in order, just as if the body had evaporated right through the band, right through the claws, and they were left there in order, but the body was gone. And as those two disciples stood and saw them, they were convinced he's living. He is truly raised. And then the Lord Jesus begins to appear to those disciples, convincing them that he is truly living. Because they couldn't believe this at first. They thought, why, it can't be. It simply can't be. We know he's dead. But here he appears time and again. And the first one I want to point out to you is in Luke 24, beginning with verse 36. Where the disciples are gathered together that first Sunday in the upper room, and the Lord Jesus, it says, stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they beheld a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And wherefore do questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye behold me having. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wonder, he said unto them, Have ye here anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And so the Lord Jesus appears here, and he begins to convince them that he is truly the one who died but is now living. He shows himself to them, and this is just the first to those men disciples, the first of these appearances. He'd already appeared to the women, and now he begins to appear time and time again. He appears to the 10 here a week later, that same Sunday, a week later. He appears to the 11. Thomas is there, and he convinces Thomas. He shows to Thomas his hands, his feet. He says, Oh, Thomas, don't be faithless, but believing. Don't you see that I am the one who died? He shows them his scars, and these were identifying factors, weren't they? These were marks they could look at and see. They might have wondered if they had just seen his face. They might have thought, well, maybe it's an angel, maybe it's a vision. But they looked at his hands, and they saw those ugly scars left by those nails, and they realized this is the one who hung on that cross, and he's living. And they were convinced that the one who had died was living. And so for a period here of 40 days, time and again, the different groups, under different circumstances, he appears. He allows them to handle him. He even makes breakfast for them one morning, you remember, by the Sea of Galilee. And in many, many ways, he shows himself to them, convincing them, strengthening their faith, so that they'll realize this one who died is now alive. Oh, the reality of the resurrection. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I believe he's a living Savior. The scripture here lists, and if you go to 1 Corinthians 15, those are opening verses there. Paul lists repeated appearances of the Lord Jesus. He says he appeared to over 500 at once in one place. And Paul says most of them are still living today. The time he wrote this, and you could verify it, he says, by talking to them. This isn't a myth. This isn't a fable. This is real. Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, is living. What a wonderful message. No wonder the disciples were just swept along with the reality of this, the gloriousness of it, and went everywhere preaching Christ and him crucified, but him risen. And this is the Christian message. I wonder if you believe that Jesus Christ is a living Savior. This one who died for you is living. Oh, I hope you've trusted him. I hope you've accepted him. I hope you've said, Lord Jesus, I want you for my Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I hope you're saved today.